Welcome to the Proper Mental Podcast. Normalizing open and honest conversations about mental health by having open and honest conversations about mental health. Welcome to episode 26 of the Proper Mental Podcast. And I've got something a little different for you this week. My guest is Jasmine Seddon, who is the founder of the Happy Chili Dippers. And they're a community of cold water enthusiasts who are passionate about well-being. And they're looking to share the benefits of cold water, submerging, dipping, swimming, and just having fun. This is a fantastic conversation. This really is something a little bit different. So yeah, it's a big cold water swimming community. And when I say big, it's huge. There's hundreds of them. There's over 4,000 people in the Facebook group where they all connect and chat and make plans to meet up and dip and, you know, different things that they do. And Jasmine started it all. It's just a one person thing. She started off dipping on her own, and then she was joined by one person and then two. And, you know, now there can be hundreds of them in the sea at any one time. And me and Jazz kind of knew each other. You know, we move in some of the same circles. We had some friends in common. And I really wanted to have this chat with her. So it was great to actually to meet her properly and spend some time with her. And I very much consider her a friend now, which is great. And the reason I wanted to chat to her is because, as well as chatting about specific areas of mental health and mental illness, I want to look at how we can improve things, how we can make life better, how we can work towards recovery, how can we make life more bearable when we're going through these things. And through speaking to so many people on the podcast, there's so many things that keep coming up. So people have so many fantastic ideas, and I want to explore them. I want to share them. I want to get involved in them. And there's a few things that the Happy Chili Dippers do. So one is the whole thing around cold water, which is getting more and more popular at the moment. And that has proven benefits for mental health and for mental well-being. And the other thing is this sense of community, you know, of people coming together and helping each other and spending time with each other and looking after each other and all just coming together from different backgrounds and different walks of life to have shared experience. And I think that modern life, it takes a lot of these things from us. You know, as we get older, as we travel through life, your social circles get smaller, your opportunities to get out and meet people and try new things get smaller and smaller, to really like express yourself and really, you know, just be your true authentic self out in nature. Those opportunities get harder and harder. And the Chili Dippers they're bringing these massive groups of people together every day that are doing exactly that, you know, that are just connecting and just being just authentic and true and together. And it really just shows the power of community, the power of cold water. And I just think what they're doing is absolutely amazing. And because we were recording outside, we're kind of like sat on this big hill in the sunshine and looking out over the sea. At one point, some chap comes along with his family and he stops for a bit of a chat. And it's actually like a really sweet moment. And he tells us about how he's with his grandson. His grandson runs past us with this massive beach ball. And he tells how he comes past us and he says, like, because of the pandemic, he's not seen his son, his grandson for ages. And like, this is the first time they've took him out. And he's like out of puff trying to blow up this beach ball for him and stuff. And it's like, it was like a really cool moment. So I've left it in. It's there for you. If you're wondering kind of like what on earth is going on when another voice joins in, that's what's happening. But yeah, it was just a really sweet moment and it just felt right to leave it in. So keep your eyes peeled for that. So yeah, me and Jazz sit down. We actually sit down outside, which is great, and just record a conversation. And, you know, Jazz was brilliant. She talks about all her own experiences and where the idea for the Dippers come from and the sort of things that they get up to and the sort of people that are involved and stuff like that. And we just chat. We just chat about community. We chat about meditation. We chat about wellness and well-being and mental health and, you know, all these sorts of things that just come out in the conversation. And yeah, it's really, really cool. I'm really, really proud of this one. It feels like a special episode. If you'd like to know more about the Happy Chili Dippers, just have a look on Facebook and you can join the other 4,000 people that are all happily dipping. I know that there's people, loads of people in the group that aren't necessarily local, and there's little chili dipping groups popping up all over the place now. There's a real movement behind this. It really feels like something snowballing, like something special is happening. So yeah, you can find them on Facebook and you connect with them there. If you want to connect with me, as always, at Proper Mental Podcast on all social media platforms. If you have 2 minutes to head over and leave me a review for this episode or any other episodes, please do. It's very much appreciated and it all helps get these sorts of things out there, gets them into as many ears as possible. And, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. That's how we normalize open and honest conversations about mental health, is by having the conversations and then people hearing them and maybe feeling like they can start to have their own. That's how it works. So, yeah, when I nag for reviews and stuff like that, it's not for my own benefit, you know, it's to get the podcast out there because that's how more people hear it. So I think that's enough for me. This is episode 26 with Jasmine Seddon of the Happy Chili Dippers. Thank you for listening. Enjoy. Yeah, man. Your own company is important, right? 100%. So, we're outdoors, Jazz.
We are.
And it's really cool to meet you, mate, because we've got some friends in common.
We have.
And we have some stuff in common, and we kind of know each other, but this is the first time we've met, right?
Yeah.
So it's dead weird. We're sat on a hill, recording, and it's a little bit of a strange setup. But we got a lush view, mate.
We can see
the sea. Yeah.
Perfect setting for what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, exactly that, mate. Exactly that. And yeah, we're going to talk about cold water. We're going to talk about mental health. We're going to talk about community. What I'd like to start with, mate, is what was your journey to the cold? How did you get into cold water, swimming and wild swimming and that sort of stuff?
For me, it was completely by accident. I suppose nothing's an accident, but at the time it felt like that. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis 7 years ago now, and every time I had a flare up, I got hit with these massive waves of anxiety and panic attacks out of nowhere. And at the time, I didn't really know what was causing them. I just thought, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm ill. And when I did research and I looked into like gut microbiome and things like that, I realised it was having an impact on my mental health. But all the medication that I'd been on for the bowel was causing me to bleed out my bladder for about a year. So when I was hit with this anxiety and I went to the doctors, straight away she was like, I can give you some medication. And I just panicked because I was kind of like, the medication seems to be attacking my body right now and I don't want to put anything else in there.
Yeah.
I was like, can I not talk to someone? And she was like, well, you can, but it's a 6 months wait and it might not be that good anyway. And I was like, this is not the advice I'm looking for.
Wow.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I went away and started doing a bit of research. It's kind of where I found the Wellbeing Campus and I got into meditation and yoga. And I started walking everywhere. And obviously because I live in New Brighton and it's such a beautiful place as we can see right now, I used to just go down the prom and I'd find someone who looked kind and I'd be like, excuse me, will you mind my bag a minute while I just go in the sea? So that's kind of where it started. And every time I come out of the sea, it was just like it had done something magic to me, because I'm quite an overthinker. My mind's busy all the time, a bit of scatterbrain, not very organised. And I get in the sea and that cold would hit your body and your mind would go blank. It'd go quiet and your body is just trying to survive that cold, and you just start thinking about your breath and you get out of that water and then all of a sudden you just hit with this calm kind of euphoria and you feel so at peace and things come back, the thoughts come back, but it's one thing at a time and it seems easier to deal with
in that
moment.
Filters back in.
Yeah. So I did this regularly quite a bit. And then, I don't know if you knew Sam Rowan, but he organised a flash mob into the sea a couple of years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago. And I went to it and hundreds of people turned up and they ran in the sea together and you're just seeing the joy on everyone's faces. And I was like, I love doing this and everyone else seems to love doing this, but why are we waiting once a year to do this together?
Yeah.
Why aren't we could do this every day. It's there, it's on our doorstep. Why aren't we doing this every day? So I literally just put a post on Wallasey Gossip. I didn't know what was going to come of it. I was just like, does anybody want to join me coming in the sea? And two strangers reached out and turned up, and one of them never come back again, and one of them stuck with me the whole way through.
Wow.
And it was an amazing, well, two, then another one turned up not long after, and both of them have incredible stories, and I think seeing what it'd done for me and then these two people just inspired me to keep moving with it.
Yeah.
It started off as a post and then went to a messenger group. And then I was like, I'm going to make this, I want it to be accessible for everybody and anybody. And I was a bit worried about putting it on Facebook because I thought, oh, am I going to become responsible or the stress of it? And that kind of defeats the object, doesn't it? Because it was something positive for my mental health. But then I just felt super inspired and I just wanted to put it out there, and it just grew and grew and grew. And I get so overwhelmed every day. I go down there and it makes me really happy.
Oh, mate, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. It's like, I think people forget with the cold, because it's a physical experience, that it is much more about, yeah, a break from your mental state.
Yeah.
And yeah, and when something's that cold, you can't worry about your tax return or what people think of you or all these things, right? It just puts you completely in the moment.
Yeah, I think as well, I forgot that when I got hit with this physical illness, so before I had coping mechanisms for my mental health, like running, and I did a lot of rock climbing, things like that, and because I had all this inflammation in my body, my joints were attacked, and I got so poorly, there were some days I couldn't even dress myself. So going in the water gave me that same kind of utopia that you get after a long run. And I wasn't able to do those things anymore, and I hit a really all-time low for about 2 years. And when I found that cold water, it's something I can do for 30 seconds and still get that same feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of was the start to getting my health back on track, on the mend.
Oh, mate. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I think it's definitely important to have coping mechanisms. It's definitely, you need as many tools in your mental health toolbox as possible. But when you become reliant on something that isn't always accessible, we've just seen this with the pandemic, right? So everyone goes to the gym to manage their mental health, but maybe haven't looked at all the aspects around that, like why is their mental health suffering? And then the gym's closed and everyone's fucked, right?
Yeah,
you know? So to 100%. have something easy, because even if you can't get to the beach, no worries, mate. Even if you can't get to the beach, you can, you know, you can jump in the shower. But, you know, that's I use the shower. That's where I get my my cold.
I kind of advocated for that when the pandemic hit and lots of people were anxious about meeting people on the beach. So we started a cold shower movement. And Dan Bentley, I don't know if you know him, the photographer,
yeah,
is fantastic.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He got this tiny little tub. It was like a bucket in his garden, and it inspired so many people they started creating their own, pouring water and cans on themselves. Rebecca as well, Rebecca Mermaid, she goes by. She was kind of doing like skateboarding and getting her mum to throw buckets of water over her, and it became like this creative challenge that people were having a laugh, and they could connect on social media but still get that cold water fix as well.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what everyone was missing, right, through the pandemic, was that connection. That's what we got robbed of more than anything, you know, as much as the economy suffered and health suffered and stuff like that. But yeah, for anyone who wasn't poorly in that way, then yeah, the potential was there to be poorly in other ways by missing that.
Yeah, 100%.
That connection. So how did the Chili Dippers, where'd you get the name from, for a start?
Well, I suppose when I went in the water, I just felt happy. And I kind of wanted to advocate that. I wanted people to know that, because everyone would be like, you're mad, that's crazy, why would you do that? And I was like, because it makes me happy. And everyone calls you mad until they start it. And now we've got 3,700 people that think those who don't do it are mad.
Yeah, that's normally how it works though, isn't it? Like, you know, I don't know, there'll always be people who think something's mad. Or if you look at aspects of society now, if you'd have said to our ancestors, you know, that this is going to happen, they'd be like, what? No, we'll never do that. And now, like, everyone does it.
Yeah.
Or like mobile phones. When they first come out, if you'd have said, oh, they're going to have cameras in and all your music and you're going to live your life through it, people go, you what? No chance. And then now it's the norm, isn't it?
So you just trick people. I tricked my mum into getting in. So my mum really was really struggling. And she used to go, it takes too much time out of your day. Why would you put yourself through it? It's awful. So one day I took her to the beach and I said, I'm getting in. She's like, what now? And I was like, yeah. She's like, I haven't got a costume. I was like, neither have I. She was like, in your underwear? I was like, yeah. And then she was like, well, what about a towel? I went, I've brought us two. And I got her in the water and she come every day.
Wow.
And it got my brother's autistic and got ADHD. And it kind of saved them that summer because they were there every single day. And it was kind of become their peace and their saving grace, getting out and getting in the water. And we all kind of connected more, brought us all together because we found like a mutual love for something.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's awesome, man. And I suppose if you're heading down every day in like different combinations of people, you know, like when modern life, because it's so busy, that is something that falls away quick, isn't it? You know, you have to like make plans to see your friends and put it in your diary for 2 weeks' time when you've both got a day off and stuff
100%.
Like that. But if you've got somewhere you can go where you just wander down and there will be someone there that you know or have a connection with or can
100%.
Join you, that's really important, I think.
Yeah,
know?
we had a lot of people that were either had no family, completely isolated from their friends because they lived too far away. And I had so many messages saying like they'd lost family members or whatever it was. And they were like, I've got no one. And I was like, just come down. Even if you don't want to get in, it's not necessarily, the chili dip isn't about getting in the water. That's one part of it. It's a community. And if you just want to come down and have a cup of tea and a chat or just feel the atmosphere. I mean, dog walkers say sometimes they just go there because the atmosphere is great. Watching everyone getting in, hearing the laughter in the bay. And people have ended up making friendships groups where they're now going on holiday with those people or
wow.
going around for tea at their houses, or they found that they've got other hobbies in common and they've then made a group or made their own group, and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's 100% that is what it's about. It's about bringing people together and connecting in nature together, and it's free.
Yeah, yeah. And we miss that, don't we? Community, we miss it. It's lacking and it's just, I don't know, society just moves us further and further away from it.
Yeah.
But physiologically, maybe it's what we're, you know, designed. It's where we've come from. We know that, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, it's where we've come from.
Go on. I knew what community was before I started this. And I thought I had that in my life. And when I started this, I realised I had no clue. And I didn't realise how important it was. And for anybody that hasn't got, you know, isn't part of a community or hasn't got that, I highly suggest you go out and you find your community, whether it's scrambling, walking, whether it's chili dipping, football, a sport, you go and find your people and have that, because it's so important for your health. It's so important to connect in that kind of way with people. And I really didn't realise it at
yeah.
the time. It's something special about it, and once you've found it, you'll never go without it.
Yeah, find your people, find your tribe, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Find your tribe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I suppose as well, like if you're on a beach and the tide's out and you're like heading down towards the water, and there's that anticipation, because the stuff with going in the cold, where it's misunderstood is people think that if you don't do it, people think about people that do it, that it's like easy, but it's never easy, right? It's always
never,
a challenge, right?
Let me tell you this now, it never gets easier. I still scream really loud when I've been doing it for 2 years, just in my costume, no kind of additional things. And I still scream when I get in the water, but that's the fun of it. My biggest thing I say to people is it's about getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that you can then put into your day-to-day life, because it's a big thing, isn't it? We're always put in uncomfortable situations, but you're choosing to do this, and it helps build your self-esteem. It helps get you motivated. If you can push yourself through that physical challenge of getting in the cold water, you can do anything. You can push yourself in anything in real life, whether it's
true.
Uncomfortable conversations with people, going for that promotion in work, whatever it is. If you can do that little challenge where you get yourself up early in the morning and you make yourself do something a bit uncomfortable, if it's a cold shower or it's coming down to the chili dippers and meeting new people or getting in the sea, you can do anything.
Yeah, that's such a lovely way to put it, because we do, modern life is, it is hard, but in some ways it's really easy, doesn't it? And everything is designed to make our life easier, whether it's like the food we consume or the chairs we sit on or all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, by if you overcome something, just a little thing, like a micro hit of adversity, I suppose, And then, yeah, you can apply that to anything. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's 100%. Wicked. So, yeah, everyone's heading down towards the sea and there's that feel of anticipation because you know it's not going to be nice. And everyone's just in, like, their swimmers or their wetsuits. And, you know, there's that feeling in the air, that feeling of something's happening, something's gonna come. And that, like, strips away everything that in society that we use to present ourselves to the world, right?
100%.
So it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer or if you, you know, don't have a job. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or, you know...
You've got addiction, whatever it is. It really, really doesn't matter. When you're on that beach... It doesn't matter what shape or size you are, where you come from, who you are, we're all in that together. We're all excited, we're all a bit nervous, we're all a bit scared, and you're doing something together. Yeah. And it's a special moment. And I think what I tell is, if you're scared, reach out, because some person in the group will meet up with you and they'll talk you through it and we'll walk you down and we'll stay with you. And that's what it's about. It's about, like, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter if you stay in for 10 seconds, if you get to your knees, if you get to your neck. Each time you can push yourself that little bit further.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, mate, yeah, that sounds, you know, it just sounds lovely. It just, you know, having people take that time to step away to look after someone who's new. And then I suppose the people who are new, once they're not new anymore, they'll want to pay that forward. And then it just carries on creating that environment.
It's been so organic. Like, I couldn't have imagined what this was going to be. It just started off with me wanting to share this happy feeling with somebody, and hoping it kind of benefited them in the same way it was benefiting me. But it was never about me. It was just kind of about sharing that experience. And now, like, I've been ill for 10 months. I was on a liquid diet for 2.5 of those months, and I couldn't get in the water because my body was too physically cold over winter. And I had to step back, and that was really hard because I was so worried, because the first year, some days there'd only be one person that turned up, and I didn't want them to, I'd never wanted anyone to be on their own. And I lived in Rock Ferry, and I used to cycle sometimes over an hour to get there every single day just so one person wasn't on their own. And I thought, oh dear, I'm like ill, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna have to be there. And it got that big so quick, and so many lovely people just made this beautiful community that I could not go for a month. And I know that no one will ever be on their own down there.
Yeah.
And there's something really special in that. Like, it runs itself. Mm. It's not my group. It's the community's group, and that's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah. No, that really is. So how, like, do you meet at the same time every day? How's it set up?
So I literally post a month's worth of times. We go pre-high tide, so that's the safest time to go, because if you kind of lose your footing or whatever, you know the water's going to bring you in. Because as we know, both know, there's really high risks going in the sea, and that's what the group's there for. The information's there that you can read and you can take responsibility for yourself and understand all of the risks. Go away, research, learn it. I post the tide, so we meet an hour before high tide every day, unless if it's a 9 meter plus tide, or because the group's got so big as well on a weekend, because we have more influx of people, we do it over 2 hours, just so that there's more car parking spaces and that there's more room on the beach. And some people might get overwhelmed by crowds as well, so you might want to not be there at the busiest peak. So the idea is that you meet an hour before and you know there's always going to be someone down there, so you just turn up and there will be someone down there. It's just as you go down the concrete path to your left, you know the chili dippers.
Yeah, someone there.
Yeah, and even if you actually go into the water on your own and you don't even want to speak to anybody, you know you get, there's people in the water, you don't have to speak to them, you can actually go, but you know that there's someone there and there's people watching.
Yeah.
So even if you don't want to socialise, some people are a bit more introverted and just want to enjoy the experience or hear the laughter and hear people around them, there's that option too.
Yeah, man. And how many, like, what would you say on average? Because I've seen, like, some of the stuff on Instagram and there is hordes of people, like like an army of people stood in the sea. But what's, like, day to day? What sort of, how
so
many
it's
people?
Not like that through the week. And also the group, because it's got so big, we've now got lots of little groups creating that. So some meet down Red Caps, by the fort, there's different places.
Oh, and
you,
like, spread out around,
so
the coast.
Yeah, so there's people, and because they live down more Egremont Seacombe way as well, it's closer, some people don't drive, and this is what it is about being accessible for people. that if you're unsure, message on the group, ask if anyone's dipping closer to your area, and there will be little groups that are going. So all you have to do is reach out. On a day-to-day basis, it can be anywhere between 2 people to kind of 50 people. On a weekend, we tend to get hundreds, but over a space of 2 hours.
Yeah.
You don't turn up and you're just surrounded by hundreds of people. And then we do events as well. So we'll do charity stuff for the RNLI. I'm trying to keep the group local, so it's by the community for the community. So I kind of start getting bombarded by people's businesses and big charities, but I don't want it to be about that. I want it to stick local for the community. So whatever we're putting in, we're all getting out, and it's kind of everyone's benefiting from it, and we're looking after everyone, looking after the environment. It's about education as well, getting people to understand the importance of looking after our environment and littering and the sand dunes and the animals and things around us as well. All of that, it's educational as well.
Yeah, because I think that's a really, really good point, because you kind of, when you just use the beach as like a holiday destination, you know, just somewhere you go when the sun's out.
Yeah.
And there is, you know, we have an awful problem with that around here, with people littering on a beach and people like trashing it and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you're using it as a community hub, as somewhere where people are going to heal and to process and to have fun and to connect, then people are going to start to care more, right?
100%.
It's about being the change.
People have become passionate about the bay. I mean, you know, there's still people going down there doing things we'd wish they wouldn't. I've got some ideas coming up in the future, because I've not been well, things have been on hold and with COVID. But hopefully we're going to get some videos out there about the environment, what we can do kind of on a day-to-day basis to look after it and protect the wildlife. You know, people get in and go, oh, jellyfish, but I'm like, you've got to remember it's their home too. So it's about understanding and finding a love and a passion for those things, so we can work together with the environment.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a space of healing, so we've got to really respect it. So many stories. I wish I could bring so many people with me today to tell you their stories, because I'm so touched every day.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we could organise like a round table or something.
That'd be really lovely.
We'd all find a spot. We could all sit around a bench and I'll do like a follow up.
Yeah, we've had some people come off, you know, medication for mental health, for fatigue, for pain relief. We've had people that have used it as a relief for addiction and a way to find a new life and connect with people, for loneliness, isolation, like on the stories after grief. Talking about it, I'm getting a bit emotional talking about it, because it's special. It's everybody's journey, not just mine, and that's what keeps me running it. That's what keeps me putting the hours into it. Because I never want it to end.
Yeah. And the cross-section of people that are involved is quite mad. Like, I know loads of people who are a part of the community, and I know them all separately.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just people that, you know, I don't know together. I'm always bumping into people or seeing people on social media and stuff like that. It really is, you know, all age groups, isn't it? It really
all
is
age
people
groups.
From all over. Yeah.
It's incredible, because I've made best friends with people in their 50s and 60s, and they're teaching me how to live life and showing me like that they live life to the full. We've done some really incredible, we do some kind of private little ladies skinny dips for women of all ages, shapes and sizes to look at body confidence and stuff, and that's been a massive thing for people, because lots of people say, well, I wouldn't wear a costume and I don't want to turn up and what if people judge me? But when you're down there's so many shape, sizes, ages, it all goes out the window. Just come down and have a look.
Yeah.
If you want to turn up in your clothes and getting in shorts and a t-shirt and that makes you feel more comfortable, I can promise you in a month you'll be in a bikini on a costume and you will not care. Like, it just goes out the window. You're stripping off, getting changed, and at first you're all covered up like, oh no, and then a couple of months time you'll just be like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. But we have all these things up, don't we, to protect us, and then once you realise, sometimes it takes something a little bit different to make you realise that some stuff doesn't matter, and we think it matters, but it doesn't matter, you know, and if we can strip that away, like literally, but you know, then it, yeah, that's got to be freeing for people.
So
you know?
I'd love to do one of my, I'm throwing this out there now, so if you like it, get in touch. I want to do a mass skinny dip down your break. And they do it somewhere down south once a year for mine charity. But if we could raise some money for some local mental health charity and do a massive skinny dip, that would be amazing. Mate, for men and women together, and just kind of put it out there. So
yeah, it's out in the universe now.
It's out in the universe. Yeah.
Any skinny dipping experts who know how to organise the legality of it.
It's very freeing. What I secretly do sometimes is take my costume off in the water, have a swim, and then put it back on before I get out. Going in there the day you were born and all of that.
Oh, mate, yeah. Well, that's like true connection to nature, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe not when it's jellyfish season, though. Hold back on that.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's wicked. That's really cool. And is it still growing? Because how many people are in your Facebook group?
It's like we're nearly reaching 3,800. And wow. Even I'm choking on my words saying that. Obviously, we don't get that many coming. There's people from all over the world that have followed it so they can see what's going on. And then they're creating their groups. And then they're posting their pictures. Or they live down south and they post in their daily dips, which has been really beautiful to see. So it's a connection. You don't have to live here to be part of it either.
Yeah, yeah. No, what's the... Because people, you said before that people look at you and think, oh, you must be bonkers. Like, what's the biggest kickbacks? Is it the cold that people struggle with?
I think there's a multiple of reasons. People worry about the crowds. They worry about their self-image. They worry about the colds. Some people aren't good about pushing themselves out the comfort zone. And it can be really overwhelming. And I think we don't appreciate actually how hard it is for some people to get in. Every day. I mean, when you start doing it and a year goes by, sometimes you can forget your first time. So it's so important to just realise that it's a really hard thing. Even for some people that have been doing it for 2 years, it's still a hard thing. Mm. And that's okay. And you just do it as you feel comfortable and, you know, do what you can. If you come in and just paddle every time and that's all you can do, then that's fine too.
Yeah, find your level within it.
Yeah.
And sometimes with worry, you have to kind of prove worry wrong, right? You have to prove anxiety wrong. And I always think with cold is people always say, oh, yeah, but it would be so cold. And you think, well, it's not like we're saying, oh, come down the beach and cut your foot off, right? Like, it's not. Yeah. Like, we've all been cold before.
Yeah.
And you warm up again afterwards, no matter how cold you get. And I think that it's weird that people can turn just that sensation, because it is just a sensation in your body, right? And people can turn it up into this big wall that stops them maybe doing something.
I think that it can be, for some people, it takes your breath away. And if you're someone that suffers of anxiety and that's a horrible feeling for you, that might start making you feel really overwhelmed, but it's a completely different sensation. And I kind of, if you're worried, we buddy people up. So I've got a lot of things that are going to go into this group. I just haven't had the chance to set it up, but we're going to set up some smaller groups for those that maybe feel overwhelmed by crowds, a buddy system for new people that come, because now it's getting big. Not just one person can do it anymore. And I mean, it's like I said, it was organic, but we need a bit more of structure because it is getting so big. So we're going to set up buddy systems where you can turn up, have a talk about it. You can maybe just watch the first time or team up with someone and go in and we'll talk you through the breathing and just kind of talk you through it. Because sometimes you just need that extra bit of support.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's all. Sometimes we just need a hand, don't we? That little extra push.
Yeah, man. And like, I suppose in other like known communities, like CrossFit, for instance, you have to do an on-ramp. You know, you have to go to a few classes with the coach and, you know, go through some basics and stuff like that. And a lot of things, I don't know, you start a new gym, sometimes you have an induction session and stuff like that. So that, you know, there's something quite nice about having a bit of help getting started. And it's interesting you mentioned the breath as well, because when we're in situations that cause us to feel anxious and it does affect how we breathe, a big part of that is like the control thing, right?
Yeah.
And you can learn to get control over your breath.
100%.
By doing it.
I think this is what people benefit from the most, is learning that you get this overwhelming feeling of kind of, and then all of a sudden you take control and you take that back, and that's what you take into day-to-day life. Like, and there's something magic in that. Knowing that when you put yourself in that physical place and you can take control, you can also do that in your mental space. And like I said before, I'd found yoga and meditation a little bit before, and I'm no guru, do not get me wrong, I don't practice daily, I'm not perfect, I'm really unorganized, but one thing I've took away from those things is that in a situation, like if I'm in work and someone's upset me or I'm getting a situation, I can just stop for 2 seconds and take myself to that place where I just slow my breathing down and I just go be present within my body. And that's what you learn being in the water as well. It's almost like a meditation. Some people can't sit there and do meditation straight away if you're in a certain place. It's not for everybody. So this is a different form of meditation.
Yeah. It's like, it's pulling you into that mindful spot, isn't it? That's like the definition of mindfulness.
Yeah, 100%.
I have a mantra when I flick my shower onto cold and I just say over and over again, sometimes in my head, sometimes out loud, depends how cold it is. But I say, control the breath, don't let the breath control me. And I say it over and over.
I love that. Yeah,
because I found like, if I can stand in the cold, I can be in the cold, and I can just be in the cold. And then as soon as my mind flicks to like, I've been in for 2 minutes, I can't wait to tell so-and-so, or something like that, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, it's freezing! And I have to go back to that mantra and keep saying it, it brings me back to that place where I can hold it together.
I love that. One of my friends, I think cold showers are actually harder than getting in the sea. I'm going to tell you that, guys. You've got the beautiful scenery and the laughter and the support of everyone in the water. When you're at home in that shower, it's all so easy to just grab the switch and go, nope, I'll put that back on warm.
Yeah.
But my friend, she says she does the power stance and she puts her hands on her hips and lets her hit her chest and shouts, I am strong. And I love that. Sarah, that's for you.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I love that.
But that's really interesting as well, because there's something really important. It's something I struggle with myself, but like really, truly letting go.
Yeah.
Letting go. And, that's why a lot of people self-medicate with like alcohol, because mm-hmm. they can access that place where they can just drop their boundaries and just kind of be themselves times 200, really,
yeah.
And scream and laugh and stuff like that. And sometimes like, weeks can go by and you think, God, when's the last time I kind of let out a shout or a roar or a,
yeah.
And when those waves are hitting you, I would imagine that, there's a lot coming out.
Do you know what's magical to watch? Grown adults embracing their inner child in those waves and screaming and laughing. And it's just beautiful. Like, we forget as adults to connect with our inner child, and I cannot express how important it is to dance, sing your head off. If you're embarrassed, do it at home on your own, but turn the music up and just let go, or come and get in the water and let go. Like, it's so important. I went through a period a couple of months ago. I was quite angry, and I went to see a friend, and she said, you don't express your anger very well, Jasmine. And I was like, all right, because I've been working so hard on like finding my peace that I forgot that anger is an important thing to process as well. And so what I started doing is, when I was going down the water, I'd chuck my head under the water, I'd take a deep breath, and then I'd scream as hard as I could under the water because I was too embarrassed to do it out loud. And I found some peace there, and I got rid of some anger, and it was a really beautiful place to be.
Oh man, yeah, you gotta let it out. I listened to a podcast recently, and it was about, and it's something I hadn't heard of before. It was about the stress cycle, and it's since stress is like cyclical, and so like in the wild, if a zebra gets mauled by a lion but escapes, managed to outrun it, it'll run around the corner and lie on the floor and shake, like convulse, and then get up and just carry on like pottering around as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
And the scientist on this podcast was saying that as modern humans, we'd never complete the stress cycle.
No.
So we get really, really stressed. And then the moment the awkward conversation with your boss over the email that pissed you off, that happens, and then stress dies down and we go back to normal and accept it, but that the hormones are almost still there, they're still floating around,
100%.
And we need to complete that cycle. And there's just something about being free and loud that can finish that cycle off, right?
You took me back. I worked in the acute medical unit in the Countess of Chester for a couple of years, and there on a day-to-day basis we dealt with life and death and resuscitations. And I absolutely loved my job, but I didn't realise I was permanently running off adrenaline. And this was just before I got diagnosed with the ulcerative colitis. And I think part of what made me ill in the first place was living in a permanent place of stress. And back then, my only outlet was running, and my body was exhausted. So that was also another form of stress. I was permanently pushing myself permanently on the go. I'm not very good at stopping and kind of taking that time to wind back down. And like you said, it's completing that cycle. And that's what I've found now is, I mean, you've just walked in on me colouring in the garden. I'm learning that connecting with the nature and taking that time out to breathe and connect, you've got to get that outlet, whether it's screaming, whether it's dancing. I mean, the Wellbeing Campus do these amazing movement meditations, and they've been incredible for my healing as well. Shaking it off, screaming into a fire, it's incredible. And we want to bring some of that to the beach, you know, getting the music on in the summer and getting everyone dancing together. So if you don't want to get in the water, come and dance, come and get involved and let go and enjoy that environment.
Yeah, just let it out. I suppose, like, modern life, it just puts us, I keep talking about modern life a lot, but the more I do these podcasts, the more people I speak to from different aspects and different looks and different parts, and you know, it's a factor. You know, we live in a way that doesn't serve us particularly well, and you can't really do anything about that other than change the way that you navigate it.
Yeah.
And like, we are, yeah, as you get older, you get more uptight. And we're so, like, for context, we're sat on a hill and we're looking over a huge, like, playing field. So we're overlooking the dips if you're local, and you can see all the kids playing and the grown-ups sitting, you know, like the kids doing cartwheels on the hill there.
Yeah.
And it's all the grown-ups sitting, and like, when does the change happen, you know? When does the, and I think, yeah, from a mental health perspective, having somewhere you can go that's safe to kind of almost access your inner child, your authentic self, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
and just kind of throw that out into the universe, that's got to be positive.
And you carry it once you start letting go in one place, it starts running through your life then. I mean, for me, it took poor health and to work in an emergency setting to see how short life was, and that I used to be a binge drinker and stuff, and I don't do any of that now, but I live my life to the fullest, and it makes me sad that it took me to have my health taken away and to be in those situations. So I hope that people see what we're doing on the beach, it inspires people to do that. They don't have to lose their health before it gets to that point or be put in a life or death situation. Do your cartwheels, start training now.
Yeah,
go and ask the kids if you can join them and play football. Get out there.
And being proactive rather than reactive, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for your world to fall apart before you go and jump in the sea with a load of strangers.
No,
you can
definitely
do it on
not.
A good day, on a bad day, on a middle day.
Yeah.
You know?
And I find sometimes the days I don't want to go are the days I benefit the most. Just sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to go today, and then I get out and I'm like, that's where the benefits are at.
Yeah.
That's where they're at. I mean, you've got to listen to your body and be kind to yourself. That's really important. If you've got a cold, don't be throwing yourself in the sea. Be kind to yourself, you know. But you could still come down and just sit on the beach and enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you guys go all year round, right?
All year round.
Yeah, like over Christmas and all
yeah.
that sort of stuff, yeah?
They're the best. The colder, for me, the more benefits.
Really,
I used to get sad, you know, the way you feel quite depressed in the winter. And honestly, cold water changed that for me. Like, I found a new love for winter. The days are shorter, but the benefits are you see more sunsets and sunrises. And I forgot that because I wasn't getting up. I was staying in bed being like, oh, it's rubbish, I'm not going out today. And then I was getting up at 6 a.m. to go and throw myself in a rainy cold water. But I was seeing the most incredible sunrises, and I was like, I felt like I'd already lived a day before my day had begun.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a feeling worth chasing, right?
Yeah, fall in love with winter. Find that love.
Yeah. Do you have to, in the summer, do you have to like find cold in other places? Do you have to kind of get the ice in the wheelie bin and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, and the cold showers and stuff. But then the benefits to the water being warmer is that I can sit on the beach all day and get in and out all day.
Mm.
And actually, in the summer, it's harder because your body temperature is hotter on a hot day, so the water still feels cold. We think it's easier. Yeah, we'll get in, it'll be like a nice warm bath. Ha ha ha, don't let it fool you.
Oh, mate. So, yeah, like, going forward, you know, your Facebook group is just going to grow and grow, and you've got little offshoots popping up and maybe a skinny dipping project. What else? Have you thought about anything else? It's like, I don't know, man, it's just such an awesome thing. It seems to kind of half have a life of its own, and you just kind of nudge it in certain directions and see what happens.
So off it, we were already kind of, so my plan from the very beginning was, it was about the cold water, but then to set up, me and a couple of friends set up this group called the Lakeside Goddesses, and anyone can do this, it's not like an exclusive thing, but it's a good idea to share because you can do this with your own friends. And a group of women just got together from all walks of life, and we meet up once a month. We go out somewhere in nature, find a cold water spot, and then we share a circle. So we sit down and we take it in turns each month to share a circle. So I did one on self-compassion, someone did one on Buddhism, someone did one on essential oils, and then we just talk. And it's about creating those spaces. And obviously that I wanted to do this with the chili dippers. I wanted to be able to go, right, in a month's time, we're going to go to the Lake District. So if anybody wants to come, and we're going to do a bit of cold water dipping, but we're also going to go on a hike, we're going to have a picnic, we're going to sit down and talk, and we're going to do maybe some movement meditation. And I'm hoping that's where we can take it. It's reached out to many charities already. I didn't actually realise how many charities it reached out to. So we've reached a suicide prevention charity that have been sending people our way, a women's cancer charity. There's an amazing charity in Birkenhead, and I can't remember what it's called, Positivity.
Okay, yeah.
That have been doing some really beautiful things with families, with children with additional needs, and supporting those families. And last summer, they all ended up connecting on the beach and bringing all their children together, and it was a really beautiful thing to watch.
Wow, yeah.
And it became a safe space and a common place, because I know with my brother with autism, he needs somewhere that's regular for him, that he can go, and it's safe and familiar faces and things, and it become that for those families. So we want more of that. We want to do mindful walking, maybe encourage people that are struggling with fitness, that we can meet up and walk together to the bay. Those kind of things, get people connecting, because maybe you come down and you're a bit nervous to speak to somebody, but if there's a planned kind of walk and we all get together and walk down, you can start making friends in that space in between. And also it's getting people's fitness up and stuff like that, so helping people in many ways. We want to help the local charities, so I want to throw some events, some big dips, maybe some fancy dress stuff, some cake sales, whatever it may be. And throw out some money to back into the community, so everybody's benefiting from that.
Yeah, that sounds, sorry, that just sounds amazing. And you know, to be able to even think about doing stuff like that, and all it started was
you know, I'm trying to blow this up.
Keep doing it. You can do it.
He's come up from Wiltshire today, so I'll be getting my ball.
The biggest one in the world.
First time I've seen in 14 months, you know, due to lockdown.
Oh, mate.
I live by Stonehenge. My daughter's brought him off until Tuesday.
Oh.
That's beautiful. We want to see you running around with that ball.
Yeah, big kick now. But yeah, like, God, I've lost my train of thought now. But yeah, you know, to think all of that started from just throwing something out into the universe, you know? So like
that was a bit, it was scary for me to put myself out there like that. I could have been completely rejected and no one could have turned up or messaged me back. And when I put that out there, I'm not gonna lie, can I swear?
Yeah, of course you can.
I was shitting my pants. I've got bowel disease, so pun intended, but it was a really scary thing for me to put myself back. I didn't know I was gonna get a backlash, or and it was quite scary because there was other swimming groups out there and I didn't want to tread on anyone's toes.
Yeah, of course.
And we've got some incredible people like Chris Shaw and stuff doing amazing swims with people that really, you know, people that want to challenge themselves, and he's got so much knowledge. I've learned so much from Chris and the people that he swims with about learning about the, you know, the dangers and learning about the coast. It's so important, but it's overwhelming for people to kind of join those big swimming groups, because if you're someone that maybe hasn't got that ability but you still want to get involved, it can feel quite scary. So
yeah, no middle ground, right?
Yes.
So kind of a bit all or nothing.
So I didn't want to tread on toes with that, and I hoped that, you know, I was thinking, oh God, what if people get angry at me, or what if no one turns up? So it was really kind of pushing yourself out there and putting yourself out there. That's how this created. So hopefully more people, this inspires people to do the same. Yeah. Don't be scared. Like if you've got an idea, you could help so many people. And even if you help one person, then that's an achievement in itself.
Yeah, man, that's all, you know, you only have to affect one person and then they go on and do the same, and that's how we change the world, right?
It really, really is.
Man. And you think, like, you were brave to put it out there, but I'll tell you who's brave is that those two strangers that reached back.
Yes! Like,
that's even a bit mad. At least you knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
They even weren't sure what you were planning.
And they opened up to me in a really short time, which I felt really honoured to be that person that they could speak to. And them to join me, but they are brave. We were scared of each other. I remember Pete was one of the first dippers it was Mandy and Pete, and I remember turning up and kind of being like, oh, hi, dead awkward, and now I'm taking my clothes off and we've never met. And like, Pete was this big guy with big curly hair and I'm just this like young girl, and it must have looked really strange, and both of us must have thought, okay, is this weird or is this okay? We actually laughed about it a couple of weeks later. And we become like really special friends, and I'll always be grateful for his friendship and having his trust and coming to meet me and putting himself out there.
Yeah, and you know, you had to put yourself out there, and then Pete had to put himself out there, and that's what you're asking people to do when they, you know, when they maybe they come down for the first time and it's December and the sand is icy and they're going to walk into the sea. Well, they're putting themselves out there too, and it's just
more ways than one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great advert for backing yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, backing yourself. And, you know, just to bring it back to mental health, when we have these negative thoughts about ourselves, you know, when it kind of dictates how we feel about ourselves and how we connect to other people because of what we say to ourselves, you know, to back yourself. And it would seem, you know, joining the Chili Dippers and going in the sea, it might feel like a big thing, but it's really not. It's just getting a bit cold in the water. And I think if people can back themselves to do that, I just think it's such a positive experience, such a positive story, man. It's wicked. And just to double background really, really quickly, is an aspect I hadn't thought of till you mentioned the swimming groups then. And that's like the almost like the networking, because of the people from all different, you know, sides of life.
Yeah.
You know, the potential there to learn from other people.
That's it. Always be open to opportunity and
shared experience,
and sharing,
lived experience. Because that gets harder and harder to find as you get older and you journey through life. And you know, you look at mental health statistics, and of course it can affect anyone, but it does tend to affect certain age groups, particularly in men. And there's no coincidence that those age groups are around not long after you get married, you have kids, you stop hanging out with your mates, you stop going to five-a-side, you stop having your old school gangs and stuff like that, and you become more isolated, and your life does become about work and about just being just family, and you lose that identity. Being able to reforge that in a safe space, I think is brilliant.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
Oh mate, well that's probably a wicked place to wrap up. This is such a good spot. I'm gonna have to take a picture to throw up on my socials.
Definitely.
And
if anyone sees this spot, it's a beautiful sunset spot, so maybe we could start a sunset kind of meetup where people come together and just have a cup of tea and sit here.
Maybe, man,
you don't want to talk, but you just want a beer.
That's sick, man. That's really, really cool. But thank you, Jasmine, for your time. That's I've really enjoyed that, mate. That was
thank
wicked.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it too. It's been I've actually seen you about six times. I was saying on the way down here that I've been following you for a while. I think you're incredible, and what you're doing is really incredible. So it's an honour to sit and have this chat.
It's been really cool, and I really want to, and I'll say it while we're recording, because that will make sure it happens. But let's do that round table. See if you can, hustle up some people who are happy to have a bit of a mental health related chat.
I'd really love to get these people, because their stories, like I said, it's not about me, it's about everybody, and it'd be incredible. It really would.
Cool.
I'm definitely up for this.
Oh, super. Oh, thanks, Jess. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening from the Proper Mental Podcast. Please like and subscribe.
Plus 5 stars.